The preliminaries are all done, and it's time for NASCAR's main event as we head to Daytona Beach.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now, here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
We are so thrilled and joyful to have you on this show as we're less than a week away from the Great American Race, the Daytona 500, now that you have woken up from your slumber that was Super Bowl 60. Somebody won, somebody else lost, that's pretty much all I know, and now we'll move on to real sport. As the folks at Sonoma Raceway put up on their website, goodbye football, hello NASCAR. Does that pretty much capture the moment, Alexis?
I think 1,000%, certainly. You know, every year, obviously, it depends on who's in the big game and all of those things, whether or not my interest is peaked. But I always love this time of year because I know as soon as, you know, the confetti flies and the trophy's handed out, it gets to be our turn. And that's something that is, you know, I always love that time of year.
I'm going to violate one of my own rules. I'm going to ask Brad a question that I don't know if he has the answer to. Did you see the NASCAR sponsored video that ran during the Super Bowl?
Are we talking about the Toyota commercial where Bubba Wallace
yes.
was in it? Yes, I did see that.
Well, and there is another NASCAR Daytona 500 thing.
I did not see that, but I will say the most excited I think I got all night, and this probably tells you what I thought of the game itself, was the Bubba Wallace commercial, because I saw 10/10ths new road course here on the grounds of Charlotte Motor Speedway in the background, and I'm on my couch going, 10/10ths, 10/10ths.
That was cool. There was another full-length video out there that features Daytona 500 and NASCAR with a head nod to moonshiners
yeah.
and all of that. And it's a very, very obvious attempt for NASCAR to get back to its base. And it worked. It was exciting. It was fun. So it's that time now, and it's time to pack up and head to Daytona. It's not speed weeks anymore, but there is a lot going on down there. It's an annual rite of passage. Brad Gilley, I know you'll be headed down there along with some other folks from PRN to start gathering all sorts of preseason material.
Yeah, lots of cool things happening. Andrew Curlin is going to go down there with me, and we've got Daytona 500 Media Day coming up this week, which is really a great preseason media day, sort of the second one that we've had, but this is one where we're going to end up having a lot of fun, and you'll see a lot of that show up on PRN social media. Andrew has just done an amazing job of really leveling up with a lot of stuff, and it's been a lot of fun to see that. And then this will be the first time, literally, Doug, I've been going to Daytona for 25, 20-some-odd years now. I've never actually stayed for the 500, but I will this year, so that'll be a lot of fun.
Congratulations, Brad Gilley is going to be a part of the Motor Racing Network crew covering the Daytona 500 this year. And that's a nice feather, Brad, so we're all happy for you. So
thank you very much. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit weird for you leaving out of there Monday morning as opposed to Sunday afternoon or whenever you ducked out of town before.
So I have a question for you, Brad, because you got to do the championship race last year for MRN. You're getting ready to do the Daytona 500. Is there anything left on your broadcast bucket list as far as motorsports goes? Because you've been able to check a lot of boxes here lately.
Well, look, if we want to get the next crown jewel, then that would be the Southern 500 at Darlington for sure. When it comes to the NASCAR side of things, and I don't know that I'll have the opportunity this year or not, but I would love to do the Homestead race, but that's only because I want to ride my motorcycle there and add another sticker. And Homestead's a cool place, don't get me wrong. I actually love Miami, so that would be a lot of fun. So those would be the two things. The other one on the motorsports side of things would be that other race that kicks off an amazing Memorial Day weekend Sunday, the Indianapolis 500.
But you're not allowed to do those both on the same day. Just saying.
Yeah, it's already been done.
And it's old news. Somebody's already done that. While we're handing out accolades and congratulations to you and Andrew heading down to Daytona, and for you, Brad, especially, being on the Motor Racing Network broadcast in-house this past weekend, they handed out some broadcast awards for the National Motorsports Press Association. Our very own Wendy Venturini, after all the years, Alexis, that she has been covering motorsports, picked up a first-place accolade.
And you know what? It was so great to get her emotional reaction to that. She won for her emotional interview that she did with Denny Hamlin in Victory Lane after the South Point 400 at Las Vegas Motor Speedway this past year. And it was an amazing interview, and she's a great broadcaster. We submitted that. She won. I said she wasn't able to come. She had other obligations. I sent her a text message right after we found out that she had won. And she said, "Oh my gosh, stop. I'm crying." And she called her mom and her dad and her boyfriend. And so that was very special to be able to give her that news.
And this is a person that's been around the game for a while.
Absolutely.
So congratulations, Wednesday. Our very own David Stiles, who's behind the glass over here. He and Kent Bernhardt both picked up awards.
Yep.
David got one. David, you picked up two. And it was a second place for a Fast Talk show that we did that Kurt Busch was nice enough to drop by and be on. So thanks a lot. And Kent Bernhardt picked up another first place. This was kind of in his name for the whole team of the broadcast from Atlanta Motor Speedway.
Yep, the Quaker State 400 last year.
And I would be remiss if I didn't mention Susie Q Armstrong and the Motor Racing Network, who won just about everything else.
Yes.
And so
congratulations to them.
They had to have people there to help her haul off all of her plaques and stuff. But those are some of the winners, and that's a nice way to start the year. So congratulations to Wendy Venturini, to David Stiles, and Kent Bernhardt for picking up awards from the National Motorsports Broadcast Association. All right, when we come back, we're going to go to break a little bit early here. Ryan Ellis, who is trying to make a name for himself in the O'Reilly Auto Parts series. I got it right.
Good job.
All right, we'll talk with Ryan next.
Listen up, fellow timeshare owners. If you're a timeshare owner and you want out at all costs, you're done, frustrated, tired of wasting money, you don't use the darn thing. Get out now. Hire the best bulldog timeshare cancellation team in the business. Their in-house legal team, headed by a timeshare cancellation lawyer, can help you fight the biggest and baddest companies out there that sell timeshare. At some point, you were using your timeshare, but now you're not, and you're tired of wasting money. Before you go to the poorhouse, call right now and learn how you can stop the maintenance fees and put more money back in your pocket. Their services cost you a lot less than you think, and you'll save a lot of money over time. Call the Timeshare Exit Hotline now. It's a free consultation.
800-890-5957. 800-890-5957. 800-890-5957. That's 800-890-5957.
This is Ross Chastain, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
It's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Welcome to PRN's At the Track. I'm Lenny Baticki. We are PRN's half-hour weekly show dedicated to the short track, dirt track, legends, and kart racing across the Southeast. We provide our audience with the news and insightful conversations with the newsmakers from grassroots racing.
How did that help you this time to take this victory from a grassroots perspective?
I definitely felt like Monza was a lot harder than the other one.
That's PRN's At the Track.
Thanks to all the folks that normally tune in here to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network. We're kind of back in our regular season form. We're based out of the studios at Charlotte Motor Speedway for PRN. And normally the lineup is Brad Gilley, Alexis Erickson, and myself. Kyle Petty comes in, what, about once a month?
Yeah.
And Kyle is part of it. And also this year we will be adding in on a periodic basis Andrew Curlin and David Stiles. So actually Andrew, David, and myself will be doing the post-Daytona 500 show. Alexis has commitments. Brad's going to be winging his way home from Daytona after working with the Motor Racing Network on the coverage of the Daytona 500. And Brad, one of the things I'm continually amazed about that place, and you and I and Alexis have been going in there for years is the vastness of Daytona Speedway. It is, I mean, all these places we go are big, but that just overshadows almost anywhere else we go.
Yeah, it's incredible. And whenever you go to the infield, you know, there's a big difference between a half-mile track and 1 mile track, a mile-and-a-half track, and a 2.5 mile track. And to think that you have Lake Lloyd, and I'm not even going to say in the middle of the infield of Daytona because it doesn't take up that much, but that's the lake that happened because they had to dig it out to build the banking of Daytona International Speedway. It is just an incredible facility, and with the redesign and the remodel that they did of it a few years ago, it is truly world-class.
And Alexis, it's one of those places, if you're at any of the other racetracks, let's say you're at Texas Motor Speedway or Charlotte, and somebody says, well, meet me at the media center, and you're in the infield, that's what, maybe a 5 minute walk.
Yeah, for sure. But then when you think about, like, for me, my biggest welcome to NASCAR moment was when I was a PR person in the Truck Series, and I was doing PR for my very first race, which was the Truck Series race at Daytona. And one of my drivers at the time was Eric Almirola, actually crashed, and I had to go from pit road to the infield care center. Oh,
that's a haul. That's a haul.
I don't know, Brad, if you're going to have infield care center duty, you know, this coming weekend or not, but I hope you've been doing your calisthenics, because
I'll do it many times this weekend. Yes, I'm sure.
Brad, what race were you working this year for MRN last year? And you were the infield care guy, and I swear I heard you for 15 minutes interviewing people coming out of the...
That was Talladega.
Yeah.
And that one's a nice fair walk as well. And you know what? I felt pretty good after leaving that weekend, and I bought a new pair of shoes.
Yeah, I thought, Brad's never going to get out of the care center. Hey, let's welcome to the guest line right now Ryan Ellis. Ryan is going to be one of the guys trying to soldier his way up into the playoffs this year on the NASCAR O'Reilly Auto Parts Series. Ryan, thrilled to have you here on Fast Talk. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Hey, Ryan, I'm curious, before we get into all this racing talk, how has your off season been? Do you live in the Charlotte, North Carolina area? Have you got to experience the long winter that we have had here in the area?
God, it has been cold, huh? Yeah, we had ice storms, what felt like a blizzard, at least for the Charlotte area. It was a quick off season overall. I'm just in Huntersville, so right around the corner, and have a 1-year-old and a 4-year-old daughter, and they got to enjoy it a little bit.
Nice. Driving for Young's Motorsports this year. Moving over there, we know you got some great sponsors, one of them on your hat with Tableau TV. I know when we go to Echo Park Speedway in Atlanta coming up next weekend, you got Pella Windows and Doors. It's always great to start mentioning company names, isn't it, Ryan?
Yeah, you're way better at it than I am, but obviously wouldn't have a job without those partners. And third year with Tableau, and they'll be our anchor partner this year. I think they're doing 13 primary sponsored races. It's so great as a smaller, underfunded team to have a partner like Tableau, who obviously they just get us to the track every week, because I would not have a job without them, and I don't know what else I would do. So I really appreciate them, and Pella, Sweetwater Construction, Demco, so many of our anchor partners that get us to the track every week.
So, Ryan, what's the goal for Young's Motorsports this year? What would make you happy right now if we were able to say, okay, you get your wish, here's how the season's going to go?
Man, I have no idea. I guess we'll find out when we get there. But it's so hard to say, because the series, I probably say this every interview, but our series only gets stronger every year. Not only in the quantity of cars, but the quality of each car and the team that's there. There's so much funding in our series right now. I think it's comparative to around like 2016-17 Cup Series in terms of the amount of budget that's being spent, at least in the like the 15th to 20th place cars. So you look at those teams that are running in the 15th and 20th place, and often they're Cup affiliated or Cup teams that are in the O'Reilly series, almost at Xfinity. So for a team that's not aligned with any specific Cup team, it's a little tougher. I think running in the top 20 consistently would be really good. It's a little bit easier at the beginning of the year than the middle and the end, because the rookies are kind of learning their way, make a few more mistakes. But it's so hard to say. I think we really got to capitalize on the road courses, the super speedways, and the first couple of short tracks. And after that, it's going to be a dogfight every week.
You know, we talked about the fact that you've made the switch to Young's Motorsports. Can you just talk about, for fans that maybe don't understand what that entails, when you go from one team to another, you've got a whole new team of crew members and support staff and all that you have to get to know and learn, and just the learning curve that comes with starting with a new team?
The unsexy answer is it's everything. Last night I was switching my backpacks over because I didn't want to show up to Daytona with a DGM backpack. And, you know, literally just, I got piles of apparel over here. My team at DGM was based in Florida, so I actually never got to that race shop. Young's Motorsports is based in Mooresville, so right around the corner. Been there a few times now, getting to know my new crew chief, Eddie Draconis. I'm going to be working with my spotter, Frankie Kimmel, for the first time at lap one at Daytona, because that's going to be a learning curve right there. But anything from figuring out who's texting me, making sure I know the right gate code to get into Young's Motorsports shop, it's kind of all over the board. So just learning the cadence of how they work. And like, I don't know if we have competition meetings, but I'll probably ask that now. And just figuring out that cadence, how they communicate. And I think with them learning how I communicate in the race car as well, will be an adventure that we're excited to get on in the next couple of weeks.
All right. So you mentioned your crew chief, Eddie Draconis, and, you know, what a vibrant guy. You know, he's just awesome to talk to. I am curious, though, and if anyone's not seen Eddie Draconis, he's not necessarily a small guy, but does he still drive a Mini Cooper?
I don't know. That's actually another question I got to figure out, is whose car is whose when they pull up to the race shop. But that would actually be pretty funny if he did. I don't know. I've always known of Eddie. I've kind of worked near him in the garage area, but I mean, he's had so many people recommended to me, and obviously with his resume, it didn't take much. Like, I was really excited to be able to work with him.
All right. I know we talked about this company last year because they have done some business with PRM, but before we let you go, get a plug in for Tableau TV, and what exactly is it and how people can purchase it and use your product.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the selling point of Tableau is you pay once, you watch forever. It's on all over our car, my suit, everything. But I lose track of every subscription that I have in my life. And whether it's, you know, an Apple subscription, or whether in the past it was a Hulu or a Netflix or a Disney Plus, like having kids, I'm just constantly trying to keep up. But with Tableau, you literally pay once, you get a device, it works for the whole home. You can pause, watch, record all of our races for the O'Reilly Auto Parts series, as well as local sports. So it's been awesome to work with them. It's been great for me in my life. We use it in the hauler, use it at home. Yeah, it's just been phenomenal. And I think anybody that's trying to find our races, because I know it can be a little hard to find NASCAR races in general, get a Tableau device and you'll be happy, because you won't have to worry about a subscription fee.
All right, check out Tableau TV. You're helping out Ryan Ellis and Young's Motorsports when you do so. Ryan, thanks for dropping in with us. Good luck this year. We know that you guys are pushing against a big rock. We wish you the best.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Ryan Ellis, Young's Motorsports. Check them out. They're heading down to Daytona. They'll be busy this Saturday. When we come back, what story are our panelists most interested in following this year? We'll do that next here on Fast.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and X. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
Make your plans now to stay at the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa when NASCAR returns to Las Vegas. They have great race ticket and room packages for you to choose from. The South Point also features a wide variety of excellent dining options at 11 different restaurants. Or you can enjoy the 16-screen movie complex and visit the 64-lane bowling center. Visit southpointcasino.com and make your reservations today. Stay where the racers stay at the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa.
I'm Chase Elliott, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Brad Keselowski will see the white flag as he drives under the start-finish line. Right behind him, Chase Elliott getting pushed by teammate Alex Bowman.
Barry off of turn two. Nice and smooth with that red and white famed Wood Brother colors now down into turn number three.
The advantage is 8 or 9 car lengths over Chase Briscoe. Fans jump to their feet to salute SVG on this beatdown Sunday here at Sonoma.
Here we go. Ross Chastain with a push from Carson Hocevar down. These cars are glued together. Up top it's Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell. Who's going to pull out of line?
It's been crazy. It's been confusing, and out of the chaos, Christopher Bell has won the Bass Pro Shops night race.
William Byron has got one last chance to pass Ross Chastain. He's going to have to drive it into turn three harder than he has all night long.
Nobody has blocked drivers better than Kyle Larson today, but he could not get high enough to clear Denny Hamlin. He'll try it in two, barely squeezes ahead of Hamlin.
This is PRN.
Here we go, getting ready to put our shoes on and head into the 2026 NASCAR season. It all starts down at Daytona. 3 days of action down there for the NASCAR trucks, the NASCAR O'Reilly Auto Parts Series, and, of course, the Cup Series. Brad, will it get abbreviated to the O'Reilly Series? Are we going to have to say O'Reilly Auto Parts? Where do you see that landing?
I think, look, the official name is O'Reilly Auto Parts, and it's the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series. But yes, I think along with everything, people have a tendency to abbreviate. Heck, I'm guilty of it as well. And I'm sure, depending on the context or what you're trying to say, I have a feeling a lot of people are going to say here in the O'Reilly Series, my O'Reilly car, my this, my, you know, I think O'Reilly's going to probably get used. Let's call it a 70-30, O'Reilly to O'Reilly Auto Parts.
There's no guilt in abbreviating, Brad. Fine.
No.
USA is, you know, USA can't chant it, you know, because it's too wordy. So it's okay. Yeah. But I think we'll see. I think it'll get done that way. Let's talk about this upcoming year. And what is the story? And Alexis, we'll start with you and go around the horn here. What's the story that has your mind occupied right now? You're curious to see how it plays out as we move through the year.
Well, there's a lot of things going through my mind, as is always tradition. But I will say the one thing that I think...
What is that old joke? What is the last thing that goes through a bug's mind when it hits the windshield?
Oh, I thought the last thing that goes through a bug's mind is the windshield.
Yeah. Is the windshield. Yeah, no kidding. Well, look, you know, there are a lot of things that I'm looking forward to, storylines I'm looking to follow this year. But one of the things that I think is going to be huge is how these small teams, and I mean Wood Brothers, Front Row, I even would maybe put Spire in there and Colleague, when you're talking about these teams that are no longer going to have the option of, okay, well, if we just pull out one win, we're going to make it to the postseason. There's going to be a little bit more on the line. There's going to be a need for much more consistency from these teams. We were talking about it before the show started, Doug, and when you think about your Gibbs and your Hendrick and your Penske's, that's what, like 11 positions, I think. I have to assume that at least 10 of those are probably going to be filled for sure when you think about the top 16 when we get to the postseason. So those few spots that are left, who's going to be able to fill those positions? And how are they going to be able to get through the season in a consistent manner to be able to be in position to do that, you know, when we get to the beginning of the postseason? That, I think, is going to be. And how is it going to change the way that they race and the decisions that they make on the pit box and all of those things that happen throughout the regular season? How is that going to change?
That's really valid, because there is no escape hatch, and the Wood Brothers have used it a couple of times. Harrison Burton won at Daytona. Josh Berry won early last year and got him into the playoffs. That doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, RCR. I mean, you think about, you know, when you think about these teams that have looked at that as exactly like you said, an escape hatch. How can we easily, you know, put our efforts towards one thing that will guarantee us a spot? And they don't have that anymore. Brad, so how is it going to change their thinking?
I like that. I like that a lot. Brad Gillick, what story has your mind buzzing right now?
Yeah, mine's sort of an extension of that, and it is the path to the championship. How's it won? Yes, we know that you have to be one of the top 16 in the regular season, and then you have to be the top among the 16 in the final 10 of the season to be the championship. But what changes in that? And where last year we saw William Byron win three races pretty early, we saw the same out of Christopher Bell when he won three in a row in 2025, and we didn't really see them in victory lane again until late in the season. And I'm not saying they weren't trying, but this year is a lot different because that one win is not going to give you the comfort of being in the postseason. Not only are you going to have to go, 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 but now how important does Saturday become with qualifying? Because stage points, I really feel like this is an underrated story right now. I think the middle checkered flags of the race, the green and white checkered flags at the end of stages, are going to be a pretty good fight as well, because that is a great opportunity to collect more points. And now people, instead of trying to chase that one win, are going to be chasing every single point that they can.
And when you get to the end of the regular season before the chase starts, it's not just going to be good enough to be in the chase. You're going to want to be as close to the number one seed as you can be.
Yes. Yes.
And so that means nobody's going to let off the gas. If Joey Logano's got five wins with three races to go, he's going to try to get six, seven, and eight.
Sure.
Am I wrong?
No, not at all. Joey Logano is a great example. People almost look at a change in the playoffs and point the finger at Joey Logano because he won a championship with an average finish of 15th. But I agree with Joey Logano when he's the first to say, they put out the path to win the title. We maximize that. Well, we have a new path to win the title. Pretty sure they're going to maximize that as well. I look forward to seeing how different, and Alexis even alluded to this as well, how different someone races based on what our championship format is. That's going to be a lot of fun, and I do think we're going to see rivalries maybe turn over into feuds a little more this
year. You would
be
foolish if you didn't adjust the way you attack the season.
Certainly.
With the new rules. The story I'm watching, it's a smaller story, but I'm enthralled by it. I want to see if Trackhouse Racing can have that breakout year. They won five races with Shane Van Gisbergen last year, but that's a bit of an anomaly. He is, to this date, pretty much a one-trick pony. Ross Chastain won a dramatic Coca-Cola 600. The rest of the year, Ross Chastain was just kind of there. He is a guy that benefited from the win in Urien.
Sure.
Got him to the playoffs last year. Can he step up his game and be a consistent winner? Can he win two or three races? Can Chastain be decent on ovals? I think he will be, but we don't know that yet. He made a nice leap forward in the second half of last year. And then Connor Zilich, who everybody has given him the new mantle. He's the latest edition of sliced bread and the greatest thing that ever existed. Does he come in and make a big splash, or does it take him a while to get up to speed? I think their whole storyline at Trackhouse, to me, is fascinating. They've got interesting components. What do they come up with?
I'm always interested in the rookies that come in with a whole lot of hype, because we've seen this time and time again throughout, you know, the NASCAR series. Just a driver coming in, they have all this hype, they get into the Cup Series and they realize it's not what, you know, the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series was, or the Truck Series was. It's a completely different animal. Can he be one of the guys that can break that mold and have a really successful rookie season, have, you know, even maybe get some wins, end up in victory lane? That's few and far between when you look at people coming in as rookies, and he's somebody that could potentially, you know, break that mold.
Brad, what do you think? Is he going to be a big splash?
I think so. I think, and Connor Zilich has proven his talent everywhere, not just on road courses, but he is amazingly talented. Now, you could maybe compare him to, say, a Denny Hamlin, who became the first rookie ever to make NASCAR's Chase, and that's when we still had a Chase format. Can Connor Zilich also join him in that regard in saying, as a rookie, I'm going to make the NASCAR postseason? Now, the biggest difference between when Denny Hamlin came in the mid-2000s and Connor Zilich doing it 20 years later is the fact that Connor Zilich does not have the benefit of any testing. And that is going to be a really tough thing for him to get up to speed. But I think he's shown that he is so adaptable and can not only get up to speed in just about anything, but can come back from injury and drive to victory lane. That's a pretty cool thing.
And Brad, I know you've spent more time around that young man than I have, but he was at an event that Alexis and I were at, the NMPA Awards that we were talking about, to pick up his Richard Petty Driver of the Year Award. I had to, like, triple take to make sure this is the guy that won all these races last year and is going to be, he will be the rookie of the year because he's the only one in the Cup Series.
Yeah.
He looks like the kid you should hand your keys to valet your car.
So, right. You know, when
wouldn't that be great? I'm going to valet your car.
Yes, I want fries with that.
But when you think about just like the hype machine that's behind him, it's legitimate. Look, the National Motorsports Press Association votes every year on who the driver of the year is. It's member voted. And he beat, to win this year, he beat out Denny Hamlin. He beat out IndyCar's Alex Palou, Brittany Force. I mean, there are so many amazing drivers that he beat getting votes from people that cover the sport day in and day out of motorsports. I think that says a lot about who he is and what we can expect from him in 2026 and beyond.
Everybody loves predictions. It's time for us to dust off the old crystal ball after this break.
It's more than a rebellion. When your teen is slipping into drugs or alcohol, when social media and pornography consume their time and their mind, when depression and even suicidal thoughts cast a shadow over your home, as a parent, you feel powerless. There is hope. At Turnabout Ranch, troubled teens step away from the chaos and into a clarity of nature on a working cattle ranch. Care for horses, learn responsibility, build trust, and rediscover purpose. It isn't theory, it's real work, real therapy, real healing. Families from across the country have found transformation right here, just when they thought hope was gone. If your teen is struggling with addiction, harmful online behaviors, even weight management, call right now and get the help you all need.
800-277-1650. 800-277-1650. 800-277-1650. That's 800-277-1650.
I'm Eric Jones, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Everything's faster in Atlanta.
These cars are glued together. Up top is Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell.
It's the Auto Trader 400 at Echo Park Speedway.
Side by side, Larson with an advantage. The five car up front, three wide behind him.
Chastain got shuffled to the bottom. Kyle Larson out front. Contact with Carson Hocevar.
Christopher Bell right on Kyle Larson's door. Larson almost gets loose.
The Auto Trader 400 at Echo Park Speedway. Sunday, February 22nd, 2 o'clock Eastern on PRN. PRN is cranking up a new season of NASCAR action.
Jesse Love goes and cuts down in front of Josh Williams. There's Austin Hill cannot get the outside line going.
It's the Bennett Transportation and Logistics 250 from Echo Park Speedway.
Big shove from Eric Almirola in the back. Side by side, the first three rows. They stay that way all four. Allgaier on the bottom.
Nose to nose, door to door for the lead.
Saturday, February 21st at 4:30 Eastern on PRN.
Always a giddy time of the year as everybody's excited. Nobody's blown an engine yet or crashed out of a race, so they're already behind in points as you start a fresh new year down at Daytona for the running of the Daytona 500. Doug Rice, Alexis Erickson, and Brad Gilley here with you. And guys, we talked a little bit about the stories that we're going to be watching, but let's go to prediction time. And this is a two-parter. I did not prepare you for two parts. I'm sorry. Part one. Who do you think wins the championship in Cup this year to start with? Who wins that? And then give me a trendy dark horse pick that could maybe outkick their coverage. Sorry to mix metaphors there with football and racing.
Well, I mean, gosh, as far as I see it, it's kind of like, to a certain extent, you can put the name, like, I don't know, maybe 8 to 10 names in a hat. And pull them out of the hat when you're talking about starting the season, because we haven't seen anybody on the track yet. We haven't seen anything to really base our predictions off of. You know, I guess if I was going to maybe at this point pick a champion, hey, I'm going to go ahead and pick Chase Elliott. You know why? Because
everybody love you.
Everybody love me.
Yeah.
And I'm all about, you know, getting the fan support. So put me down for Chase Elliott, because I feel like at this point I need more. Okay, I need more data before I can legitimately come back to me in like
all right.
3 months.
I'm going to come back to you in a couple of minutes for your dark horse kind of pick.
Okay.
I'll give you the benefit of the doubt there since I dropped it on you guys late. Brad, who's going to be the champion in 40 weeks from now?
Hey, I'm going to stick to what I said last time, Joey Logano, because it will be the most Joey Logano thing to do after being criticized for two of his three championships being ones that some people might perceive that he backed into in some way, shape, or form. He didn't. But what a great opportunity now just to go out there and score more points than any other driver.
Wouldn't that be something to be a four-time champion? You realize if he does that, then he's tied with Jeff Gordon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a shot. He's got a very good shot to tie or possibly even pass Jeff Gordon for championships. And that's not something
rarefied
I thought I'd be saying there. So, I can see that. I'm going to go with another Hendrick driver, but not Chase Elliott. I think it's William Byron's year.
Nice.
I can see Willie B winning this thing. I think he's learned consistency. He's got to be a little better at the back end of the year than he has been in the past years. But I can see him doing it. I like his racecraft. I think he's a pretty talented race car driver. I'll be honest. There are three drivers from Hendrick that can win the championship. We didn't even mention the defending champion. Kyle Larson could win that too.
Yeah.
Alex Bowman, not so much, but those other three guys. I mean, Alex could, but I've not seen that from him to make me think he's going to win a championship. I was being a little flippant there. All right. Your kind of dark horse.
I don't know if you could consider, if people will think that this is a sellout for me, because it's not really a dark horse when you think about it, but I'm going to go with it anyway. This guy made the Final Four last year. I'm going Chase Briscoe. I think he's somebody who could, and I'll say he's a dark horse because he's never won a championship before. So in my opinion, if you've never done it before, then, you've maybe got a little bit more ground to plow than somebody else like a Chase Elliott or Joey Logano or
like that. Brad?
All right, so for me, for a dark horse, I'm going to stay away from the big three teams, Hendrick, Penske, and Gibbs, and I'll take a Toyota driver in Tyler Reddick. He showed a lot of consistency last year, even though the team was winless, and I think Tyler Reddick can put together a whole season.
Oh, that one.
Doug's face tells me he does not agree.
I don't know, and I got jaded last year, and I've said this before on the show, because at the first third of the season, every TV pre-race show, everything, Tyler Reddick, watch out for him. Oh, he's really good here. He can tear up this. And we got Bupkus. There was never that payoff at the end of the pay window that I thought, oh, man, make that happen for him.
Yeah, so, do you feel like, with everything, in the past when it comes to 2311 and all of the things that they were going through last year, do you think that's going to make any difference of what we see from them on the racetrack?
I think for Tyler Reddick, because obviously, as we found out in the playoffs, and remember, this was like a top five, top six team throughout the regular season last year. But then we find out some of the things that he was dealing with at home with his young son and the medical issues that he had. I'm sorry, but the last thing I might be thinking about, except for when I hopped in the race car, would be racing if I had a child who was that sick.
Yeah, I think he did have a lot of legitimate distractions last year that caused him a lot of pain.
Yeah.
I will predict as of right now, and I've said this on other shows, that Shane Van Gisbergen will make the chase.
Is he your dark horse to win the championship?
Win it? No. He's not going to win the championship, but he's going to make the chase, and he's going to outperform what people think of him.
Okay.
I think he will lose the one-trick pony I can just run road course label this year.
Okay. Well, who's your dark horse to win the championship? Because you didn't ask us
who our dark horse was
to make the chase. You said who's going
to
win.
To win the championship, I'll go with the Hell Melon guy. How about Ross Chastain?
That would be a popular win.
Yeah, it would be very popular. He got really close, and since then, he's never gotten back to that pinnacle. Yep. Let's see if they can do this. Let's see if so much of this is dependent on the team. Can they bring fast cars to the racetrack and unload fast?
Yeah.
That's got to be the key. As Brad's pointed out many times, you can't show up and qualify 25th.
Sure.
I say that, and Chastain started 2 years ago at the back of the pack and won the 600, but you can't count on that.
Not week in, week out.
No, you can't.
You're giving away points if you do that.
Yeah.
So if they can figure out a way to bring faster cars, Chastain, and it would be very popular because he is a popular guy in this sport, and you know, the other guy that would be very, very popular if he could ever figure out what's going on, I don't know he will be Noah Gregson. People just love that guy.
He's silly.
Why do they love him, Brett?
He's silly.
Because he's silly?
I think it is.
He's him.
He's got a personality, yeah.
He's unapologetic about who he is, and that's great. And he is truly a fun, friendly guy.
All right. So that wraps up that segment. We've got one more round of predictions. The Great American Race rolls your way next. We'll chat about that right here on Fast Talk.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal and is so easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and X to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name Z-Max for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
Make your plans now to stay at the South Point Hotel Casino and Spa when NASCAR returns to Las Vegas. They have great race ticket and room packages for you to choose from. The South Point also features a wide variety of excellent dining options at 11 different restaurants. Or you can enjoy the 16-screen movie complex and visit the 64-lane bowling center. Visit southpointcasino.com and make your reservations today. Stay where the racers stay at the South Point Hotel Casino and Spa.
I'm Austin Dillon, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Here's Paul Doschel of Toyota.
We have a kind of robust program around NASCAR, and we feel that if we're going to be there and compete against Chevrolet and Ford, that we want to be able to tell that story. And so we feel that a 360-degree approach is the best for that. Radio fills a much-needed void in our marketing program. Being able to have our commercial spots and the relationship that we have with PRN, where they talk about our vehicles as Camrys and Supras.
The Toyota GR Supra makes that hard left turn onto pit road.
As pace car, you know, the Toyota Camry pace car, where the GR Supra pace car adds a nice touch to broadcast rather than when it's just the pace cars coming out of turn four. So for us, it's really the coming together of the 360-degree approach to really make our program all-inclusive.
NASCAR Network Radio drives business.
Coming up, we'll hop into Green Flag, Black Flag. We'll have some statements and we'll react to them. Before that, can't start the year without predicting who wins the Great American Race. The last 2 years have been the same guy, the 24 car with William Byron aboard. Brad, let's start with you. Who do you have winning this edition of the Daytona 500 that you will be working for on the Motor Racing Network on Pit Road?
It is finally his year. Man has led the most laps on drafting tracks over the last three seasons, and Ryan Blaney hoists the Harley J. Earl Trophy above his head on Sunday.
I have a feeling we have a tie.
Yeah,
you can predict who you want. If that's who you think's going to win it.
Yeah, that is who I had picked too, because you know he has won a Daytona, just not the 500, and they're so good. I think Penske is so good. The Fords are so good. You know, at the drafting tracks right now, I think it's his year too. Hate to pick the same person, but that was where my gut went.
Wow, Ryan Blaney. So both of you guys like Ryan Blaney to win the Daytona 500.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a coin flip race.
It is.
I will give the guy that I told was going to win the championship. I think he can win three in a row. He obviously can win three in a
row. Sure.
William Byron's going to be there at the end of this race making some racket. So we'll see how that shapes out. Let's do this right now.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
All right, got a whole new batch of NASCAR themed statements we're going to share with everybody right now, including our panel, because they are well versed in all of this stuff. We'll get their take on it. If they agree with each of these statements, it gets a green flag. If they disagree, it gets a black flag. All in agreement, we have this weird thing.
All right.
Right.
The cat's gone.
I
don't know what happened
new
to the cat.
New production value for the year.
I was trying to, I was listening for the cat there. All right, here we go. I'm going to start with Alexis Erickson this time around. The best thing we will hear, the best thing at the end of the Daytona 500 is this driver is not in the playoffs.
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I'm going to say a black flag on the best thing. I think the best thing we're going to hear and see is whoever does win celebrating victory lane. But I think it will be welcome that, you know, the very first thing that we don't hear from the beginning of the season is talking about the playoffs. I think we need to let the season, have a little bit of time to unfold and all of that before we start talking about the postseason.
All right, Brad Gilley.
Green flag. The best thing we will not hear is someone is already locked into the playoffs after the first race of the year.
Yeah,
that makes me very happy. You got to still keep going out and earning it.
Doug, what do you think?
I echo exactly what Brad Gilley said. I think this is a big race. It's the biggest race we have all year long. It should be celebrated solely for the fact you won the Daytona 500. You got the cool trophy and all the glory that goes with that. And the playoffs will take care of itself as we move through the
All right, Brad Gilley, we go to you for this one now. There will be a new Daytona 500 champ this year, a new one.
Ooh, I will say green flag because based on my earlier prediction of Ryan Blaney, then that would have to hold true.
Yeah. Doug?
I've got to say black flag because I just picked William Byron to win the thing, and there are some other people in this race that have already won it that could easily, it's not easy to win, but they could win it again. So I'm thinking we have a repeat winner.
All right, Alexis.
I'm going black flag because I picked Ryan Blaney, and so I think we're going to see a new winner for sure.
Gotcha. All right, here we go. Doug Rice. We'll have 12 different Cup Series winners this year. That's the number. Go ahead, write it down. No more, no less.
What is that from Monty Python? And the number of the counting shall be three.
Three.
Before you toss the holy hand grenade, before I toss in my holy hand grenade here, the number of winners will be 12. Yes, yes. I love that as a magic number for how many winners we have. What did you say? How many are in the big three? 11 drivers.
11, I believe,
so
yeah.
So 10 of those will make it into the chase, and that gives you another half dozen to get in. So I like the 12.
What did we have last year?
I want to say 15.
I think 15. 17.
15 we finished with? Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and I just for that reason alone, I'm going to say black flag. And also because you want us to hit the bullseye on that. No few, no more. You know, that's going to be a little hard to do. So I'm going black flag.
Brad, 12 shall be the number.
I'm going black flag, and I'm going to say, because I hope, it will be less than 12. I want to see natural rivalries on the racetrack. That means less winners.
Thus saith Brad. Okay. Yeah. Let's go. Let's see. We're back to Alexis again, I believe, here. Connor Zilich will win before Carson Hocevar.
Oh, that's a good question.
It's really good.
I'm going to say green flag. And the reason why I say that is just because I think Trackhouse is a tick above Spire. I think, obviously we've seen Carson on the cusp a few times, and I think it's definitely going to happen, but I think Connor might have the upper hand when it comes to equipment by a touch.
All right, Brad.
I'll say black flag, in part just to be different. It's no fun if we all agree, right? But Hocevar looked pretty good in the clash at Bowman Gray Stadium, number one. And number two, he just simply has more experience than Connor Zilich. I think that could help him get to victory lane first.
Doug Rice.
I want to see Hocevar win a race just because he's like the Tasmanian devil, whirling dervish or whatever. So
nice.
I'm going to say, what was the question again?
Connor Zilich will win before.
Black flag. Because I want Hocevar to win. And Zilich's path is made for him. Hocevar's got more work to do. So,
I'm real disappointed that we didn't agree on anything to hear that.
I know. David, would you play it for us anyway?
Production.
Yeah, here we go.
I guess not.
And there's the cat's back.
Yeah, that's it.
Nice.
Bless.
Very good. And that's green flag, black flag for another day.
All right. Thanks a lot there, Kent Bernhardt. Excellent production. As usual, we'll take a break. And when we come back, we will give you one last thing.
Hey, listen, are you a 50-year-old person looking for term life insurance? Then you need to talk to Bob. Bob specializes in helping people find $1 million or more of term life insurance for a couple of $100 a month. Look, you need to know there's a price war in the term life insurance business, and you may be paying too much. Call Bob, and he'll shop and see how much money he can save you. Look, this could be the last term life insurance policy you ever have. Your rates are guaranteed for the next 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rates for the next 20 years. And if you're a smoker or your health is not perfect, Bob has great rates for you too. So for $1 million of term life insurance coverage for a couple of $100 a month, call Bob right now. 800-509-1741. 800-509-1741. 800-509-1741. That's 800-509-1741. Paid for by Term Direct.
I'm Denny Hamlin, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
These cars are about to fire it off in anger.
Logano back across the stripe. Now Zane Smith putting on some pressure.
Side by side, Austin Cindric has him at the line, and he will take the lead into one.
Boy, what a save. We got cars sideways. It's Christopher Bell. He spins and collects a couple cars. Here comes Shane Van Gisbergen on the bottom. He's looking for second.
Now Chris Buescher fired out of a cannon at turn two. He's right into the rear bumper of Ty Gibbs. Which way is it going to go?
Oh, it's a multi-car accident. I want to say 15, 20 cars. Looks like Austin Cindric is involved. Denny Hamlin. Guys, that took out about two-thirds of the field.
We have a fight on pit road between two crew guys. One of them is with Ty Gibbs. One is with Brad Keselowski.
Brad Keselowski will see the white flag as he drives under the start-finish line.
Chase Elliott has battled at the front all night long. He's won the war. Chase Elliott has just punched his ticket to the playoff.
Awesome job, man. Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
This is PRN.
One last bit of housekeeping here before we get into our one last thing. And Brad, I'll start with you. Let's make the bold assumption that all 11 drivers for the big three teams, Penske makes it, Gibbs makes it, Hendrick makes it. That's 11 drivers. Give me two of the other five drivers that will be in the chase that don't race for those teams.
I think Ross Chastain is number one, and my prediction of Tyler Reddick for my Dark Horse champion would be number two.
All right, so that takes up – we have now filled 13 spots in the chase, Alexis. Who's going to grab a couple more?
I'm going to go with Bubba Wallace because he's been pretty consistent as of late, I thought, last year. And then I'm going to go with SVG. I think Shane Van Gisbergen, and, you know, we talked about how he could be somebody that could – you know, come have a coming out party, if you will, on the ovals. We already know how he can do on the road courses. So I think if he can be a tad bit consistent, he could do it.
You know what? I don't believe myself here, but I'm going to go ahead and give it that last spot, because that's 15.
Right.
To Zilich.
Nice.
I think he'll figure out a way, if he's nearly as good as folks think he is, he could be that guy that sneaks in, that's not with one of the big three teams, that takes a spot. That's going to be a fierce battle, because I honestly feel like that's how it's going to come down, that 11 of these spots are going to be taken by these big three competitors. There's no reason they should miss out. Ty Gibbs can get better to get into the top 16, and so can Alex Bowman.
And when you think about it, like the people that are left on the outside looking in, I mean, you're talking about all of RFK, RCR, you know, Spire, colleague, front row, like there are so many teams left on the outs, like the number of spots that are going to be available, it's going to be a battle.
It will be, and I feel like each one of the big three teams has a person that's vulnerable.
Sure, absolutely.
Alex Bowman for Hendrick.
Absolutely.
Based on past performance alone.
Yep.
Ty Gibbs for
yep.
Gibbs, and for Austin Cindric.
Yep.
At Penske.
Yeah.
Those three people need to do some resume padding, but they will have the resources to get them there. Let's move into this last phase here.
One last thing.
All righty, Brad Gilley, your first one.
All
last
right.
thing.
So I saw an article last week where Ben Kennedy with NASCAR says the inaugural Anduril 250 at Naval Base Coronado in San Diego, the tickets are selling like hotcakes. And that's awesome. Anytime you put the word inaugural in front of event, you should expect it to be a sellout and sell like hot takes. And that's great. But the same should hold true for Echo Park Speedway, for Circuit of the Americas, for Phoenix Raceway, for Las Vegas Motor Speedway, Darlington, Martinsville, Kansas, on down the road. We got a lot of really cool events. And like we like to say, hey, the best experience in NASCAR is always the at-track experience. There's so much fun. There's so much camaraderie. And I know in talking to a lot of these racetracks as well, the one thing that they're working hard doing right now as we speak is making sure that you, the race fan, have the most amazing time when you go to the facility. There are a lot of cool things that happen at the racetrack that is not just between the green flag and the checkered flag. Get out there, go to a race, and for those of you who wanted the Roval to go back to the Oval at Charlotte, you got your wish. 704-455-FANS. Call them now and buy your tickets not only to that race but also the Coca-Cola 600.
Absolutely. There I mean, go. That very well said. You know, when we eventually got to Bowman Gray, middle of last week, so many people said, oh, it's the first day of school. You know, it feels like the first day of school. And the thing that was always so great about the first day of school was the clean slate that everybody was starting out with. We go to Daytona. Obviously, Bowman Gray is behind us, or Snowman Gray, as a lot of people like to call it. But that didn't really have any implications. That was an exhibition race. Everybody's walking out of that racetrack and into Daytona with a clean slate. That means that the sky is the limit for anybody that, you know, gets in their car and straps in at Daytona, especially when you're talking about a place plate racetrack and how you can get your season started off on a good foot. So I just am extremely excited about the season to start. I wish a lot of luck to all of the competitors and teams, and am happy to be where I am, able to cover the sport for all of the fans.
Well said from Brad and Alexis. Before I get to my one last thing, I want to tag team on your Bowman Gray thing. I saw so many people upset. Oh, it was, the second half of the race was a joke. They were racing in the rain. NASCAR let everybody pit to get gas. It doesn't matter. It was exactly what it was. It was an exhibition race. They could make up all the rules as they went along. No harm, no foul. Didn't impede anybody from winning a championship or gathering accolades. It was what it was, and it was fine. I loved it. I sat at home with my wife, and we laughed for the second half of the race. But every time you looked up, somebody else was spinning out, and there was another spin or a crash. And they weren't really tearing up cars. They were just dinging them up. And, you know, we've had some Daytonas there where we had four cars running at the end, and the cars were all total. It didn't make it to the end. So just chill. Take it for what it was. It wasn't anything serious. My one last thing is a little bit serious. We come in here on Mondays to do this show at the studios of PRN, and I had to go up to the seventh floor of the Smith Tower, and I was met by this big group of people bringing in balloons and welcome back signs and all of that, and they are going to have a big celebration for Greg Walter. Greg is the general manager at Charlotte Motor Speedway. He has been out with some health concerns. He has had a heart transplant, but he is coming back on a limited basis today to return to his job. And Brad and Alexis, you guys know Greg. He is one of the most genuine people that I've ever been around. He is so well-liked. And for a person in big authority to be that well-liked, it tells you he's doing a good job.
Absolutely. And it's been a big recovery for him. He, you know, his health journey started Easter of last year. And so it's been almost a full year since he has been away from the Speedway. So I know his homecoming today is going to be met with happy tears from everybody here. I'm so glad that he's going to be back in the office and that he is well and continues to be on the mend. And it's amazing to have him back.
Brad, it's kind of cool here. The celebration, I think, on the seventh floor today will be like none other they've had.
Yeah, I don't know how many more kind things you could say about Greg Walter, about just what an amazing leader he is, what an amazing human being he is, husband, father, family man, everything. Greg Walter is just incredibly, and you use the word, Doug, genuine. He is just such an amazing person, and it's so wonderful to have him back in the office.
He's authentic, and there is one other person here I want to extend best wishes to. Her journey's got a long way to go, and that's Jessica Fickinger. Jessica's husband used to work at PRN. Jessica interned here, and she's been the acting general manager, but Jessica's not been in that role without her own challenges as she is fighting breast cancer right now. And it seems like every time I turn around, somebody else I know is in that battle. She's made it through the chemo part. Now there's a lot more to go, Alexis. And you never know what somebody's journey's like. And sometimes you don't even know when you can see them in person.
I mean, that no truer words are spoken, but I will tell you the one thing I know for certain about Jessica Fickinger is she's probably the toughest person I have ever met. And if there's anybody that can kick cancer's butt, it is her. So we're rooting for you, Jess.
And you heard Alexis and I talk about all of the National Motorsports Press Association happenings. Two acknowledgements here. One to the outgoing two-term president, Deb Williams. Great job, Deb. Nice to see you get that. She got into the NASCAR Hall of Fame. And congrats to Holly Kane, elected as the new incoming president of the NMPA. For Brad, Alexis, Kent, and David, I'm Doug Rice. Back next week with a whole bunch more Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.